Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are also available there under Public Affairs. Our topic tonight is navigating your options in retirement planning. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Kyle's in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. You can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable speaking on air, you can give your question to Kyle and he'll bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. That's yourfinancialchoices.com. So I appreciate questions through the website. I appreciate questions during the show. It was a great show last week with what made it great was we had listeners call in with several questions, and I really appreciated it because it prompted a number of topic ideas for me. I'm going to have an attorney come on in several weeks, a few weeks, I guess I should say, to talk about estate planning with multi-state planning and the implications of that, because we had questions about distributions from trust and, you know, former residents of New York and then PA and what does it mean? And I thought that was a really good topic, kind of a multi-state overview, especially for people who might have, you know, property in multi-states. And then Ken had called last week asking about the advantages to retiring in Pennsylvania or Delaware. And so I thought that's going to dovetail nicely into our show topic this evening, navigating your options in retirement planning. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then we talked about, we had a couple other calls, one about writing a will and who should be the executor. And then another call from someone who was out of state who was going to be inheriting locally, and some information on that. So those were some really interesting calls, again, prompting some topic ideas, which I really appreciate. So if you have ideas or questions this evening, the phone number again is 610-758-8810, and you can type live on air with me. And if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Kyle. He'll write it down, and he will bring it in to me. When we again, the topic tonight, navigating your options in retirement planning. I might have even forgotten to say that, not sure. Navigating your options in retirement planning. And this is a very interesting topic to me. It seems to be very important to a lot of people, especially as they get closer to retirement. When we talk about navigating your options in retirement planning, we do mean more than just the decision to retire, but of course that is part of it as well. And in being proactive on this, you will be less reactive in retirement. I think that's really important. So the best time to start thinking about these things is really, you know, now, as soon as you start working, even before retirement. But of course, even if you are already retired, there are still retirement planning options that you have. We can't forget that. Just because someone has retired does not mean they're done making decisions. So we're going to cover some of these, you know, options that one might have. some of the questions I threw down to lead us through this conversation is retirement options and what that means. When should I retire? What am I going to do in retirement? How much emergency reserve should I have? How will I pay for health insurance? How do I fund my cash flow, or where is my, quote, paycheck, unquote, coming from? What pension option should I select? When should I collect Social Security? What about, you know, long-term care and health costs? So those are some of the questions that we would want to explore as we're thinking about retirement planning. So let's start with, when should I retire? And that question sometimes could be kind of categorized in age-based, when should I retire? It could be asset-based, like how much do I have to have in assets? It could be health-based. And it could be informed by a number of other questions, which we'll go through throughout the show to help kind of lead to that answer. So when we talk about age-based, many people think that's based on Social Security age. I will really have people say to me, well, I'm going to retire at the regular retirement age. And I'll say, well, what is that? And they'll say, well, you know, Social Security age. And then even then I can say, what is that? Because that could mean something different to different people, meaning some people think regular retirement age is 62 because you can start collecting Social Security at age 62. Some people will think it's full retirement age of Social Security, which for some people might be age 67. Now, that's a five-year difference. It could be, you know, substantial, having a substantial impact on your retirement planning. It might be when you're eligible for a pension. It might be when your employer says normal retirement age is for your 401k. I don't know where people get the idea of what the age is that they're going to retire. It's just random. It's just age 65, they might say, because of Medicare age. Could be anything, age-based. So a lot of people will say, I'm going to retire at age 65. Typically, in my head, I think that's probably because that's when they're eligible for Medicare. And we're going to talk about that when we talk about health insurance. Asset-based, some people will say I have to have X amount of dollars. And why do they take that position? Well, meaning if someone has, you know, $5 million at age 50, they don't spend anything, they very well might be able to retire at 50. It doesn't have to be age-based in that case. It's asset-based. They have X amount of dollars. And generally, what someone might have in their mind when they're thinking about asset-based retirement, when I have X amount of dollars, they might say, well, if I have to have, you know, X amount of dollars to fund my living expenses, then I need this amount of assets at 4% draw on those assets that'll, you know, pay for it. If I have $1 million and I take 4% out of that million, that's $40,000. Maybe that's all I need to live on. If I have $1 million and I can have a $40,000 draw on my million every year, and that's all I need and expenses don't go up, that could work out very well. If there's inflation, there's issues with that. That's why the asset-based, you got to be careful. You want to make sure that you've built in inflation in that. So is it 4% plus inflation draw? And calculate that and understand what your risk tolerance is and what kind of performance you might need off your portfolio to give you the draw off your portfolio that you might need. And maybe it's just for the short period of time until you might collect Social Security if you're filing before, if you retire before Social Security age or before you file for Social Security. So we're going to talk about, you know, some of the cash flow issues as we go through the show as well. I'm kind of throwing out a bunch of concepts or questions to think about to help formulate the solution to your question about retirement planning or when you might retire. It's kind of you know, I talked to someone today about estate planning. It's the same concept. It's following the threads. It's making sure you understand all the different directions it's going. Obviously, you can't anticipate everything, but if you make the most informed decision you can, then you have a higher probability of reaching your goals and being successful in them. So, folks, tonight we are talking about navigating your options in retirement planning. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or give your question to Kyle. He'll write it down and bring it in to me. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. Also available at WDIY.org. And we have a WDIY app now where you can listen to Your Financial Choices live or access the two-week archive through that app as well. On the WDIY.org website, we have many more podcasts available there as well. So tonight, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We are talking about navigating your options in retirement planning. You can talk live with me or give your question to Kyle and he'll write it down and bring it in. We are talking about navigating your options in retirement planning. So the first question was, when should I retire? We said that could be age-based. It could be asset-based, meaning, you know, you expected a certain dollar amount to have accumulated. It could be health-based, meaning you can't do the work anymore. You're just physically not capable. You're stressed out. You just, you know, can't do it for whatever reason. Maybe the particular kind of work you were doing, you can't do anymore, but maybe you could go do some other type of employment, but maybe not at the same, you know, pay scale you were doing in your, you know, lifelong work. Sometimes people will just say, I want to live my life before I can't move anymore. They want to travel, things like that. So that's kind of health-based. So how do we decide when it is time to retire, especially if we have not retired yet? If you've already retired, there's certainly going to be more of these kinds of questions as we go through the show that will still be applicable even to you in retirement. But let's go through some of these. What am I going to do in retirement? If you haven't retired yet, it would be really important when you're thinking about age, asset-based, or even health-based retirement goals, you should want to know what you're going to do in retirement. I personally would be happy just to sit and look at the sky. I don't need a lot of travel. I don't need to spend a lot of money. I'm just happy just being. I love talking. I love visiting with people. That's all my entertainment. Played Yahtzee with my son last night. It was lots of fun. So I don't have expensive taste in that regard. But there are people who want to travel and travel, you know, European travel, first class around the world, multiple destinations. Travel is going to cost money. If you're going to retire and you're going to have that as a budget item, what are you thinking about? Because you may have planned that asset-based kind of retirement number on your current living expenses, but then when you retire, is it that the travel budget is simply going to replace maybe the commuting budget and the dry cleaning budget and the new clothes budget that you had to have for working? So you want to make sure that you understand what you're going to be doing in your retirement. Is there going to be a bigger budget for travel, a bigger budget for buying another home, a second home? A lot of people, when they retire, they want to buy a vacation home. I have people buying homes in Florida. I have people buying homes in New York. I have people buying homes in South Carolina. You want to make sure that you know what your anticipated expenditures might be. You might think just in the moment of retiring, but have that secret desire to do that travel or that secret desire to have that second home, or your children now have left the home and they've moved to another state and now are married and having kids, and you start to realize, gosh, they're kind of far away. This traveling thing's, I want to be there more for my grandchildren. If that's going to be the case, if you expect that might happen, then that could certainly affect your retirement budget. Might you work part-time consulting? That could adjust your decision about when to retire. Because if you completely cut off, completely retired, that would look like one cash flow projection. Whereas if you said, but I really can't see myself completely retiring, I do want to work part-time, or I have had a number of professionals who've retired and then have gone on to do consulting, and sometimes their consulting income is as ridiculous as their income as when they were working. That could kind of make your retirement plan work a little bit better or longer without the same kind of asset base that you might have needed had you not continued to work part-time. I will say, though, that I have seen a number of people who will say, I'm going to retire and please run a financial projection for me and show me working part-time because I can't imagine not working. So show me working part-time earning, you know, $10,000 or $25,000 a year. And then the reality of it is they retire and they don't get that part-time job. That happens too. I've seen it go both ways. They say they're going to retire and not work again. They're exhausted and they end up consulting because they just can't, you know, get over the adrenaline they get from working and make boatloads of money, but in a different capacity, maybe not as an employee, but as a consultant, 1099, whole different tax implications. But then I have had people who say they're going to work, they put it in the projections, and then they end up not working part-time. And sometimes they end up spending more money than they thought too. So that could be a financial plan going off the rails. Thinking it through ahead of time, being practical about it, really helps in informing the decisions you're going to make as to when to retire. Just a quick example, I've said this before. I know when my husband and I bought our home, the home that we're in now, we had it built, we obtained a mortgage and bought a home assuming I would work part-time. And that was, you know, how long ago? 23 years ago, that I'd be working part-time. Well, I was working part-time when we first started and then went full-time. And we're still in the same house because we, you know, started making more money. It didn't mean that now we're going to sell this house that we could afford on this budget and now buy up to a more expensive house at this higher budget. It's allowed us, really buying under our means, allowed us to save more for our retirement and could really have an impact on that decision-making when it comes time to do that. What else might you do in retirement? You could be, I mentioned, family. You could be traveling to visit family. I have a lot of people who in retirement, they get really attached to grandchildren or nieces and nephews and spend more time with them and then want to do things like fund 529, you know, college education costs. Project that out. Think about that. Might that make a difference in deciding when to retire, not just age-based? Maybe you still want to get crawl on the floor for those little nieces and nephews, or asset-based if you think you might want to help support some education costs for any of those relatives or distant relatives. You might need a little bit more assets if you're going to use some of that money now or some of that money in your retirement. Then we're going to talk about where am I going to live. And this was, I think, a great idea that we had had from, who was it last week, did I say? Ken from Emmaus, who had asked about Pennsylvania or Delaware. I think it's really important to talk about where am I going to live or even think about it. Again, just make sure you understand your options so that you're not surprised. It's one thing to say, hey, I want to go live in this other state. But go in with that decision informed and know what you're going to be faced with versus moving and then saying, oh, shoot, I didn't know this was going to happen. So let's talk about where am I going to live when we come back from this next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1 and WDIY.org and on the WDIY app. Thank you for listening. Tonight we are talking about navigating your options in retirement planning, going through kind of a question list, I would say, to help lead us to making informed decisions. We talked about when should I retire, and that could be age-based, asset-based, health-based, could be your spouse telling you, retire already. What am I going to do in my retirement? Really important to know what you're going to do, if you're going to work part-time or if you're going to travel a lot and spend a lot of money. If you're going to buy another house, very important to know that before you retire so you know what to plan for. And now we're going to talk a little bit about where am I going to live, and understanding the income tax implications. I had mentioned last week a website, and I think I was doing it off the top of my head, but it was the correct website. It's retirementliving.com, and you can do a /for taxes, and then you're able to drill down to the 50 states and what kind of tax implications you might incur in those states. For example, it covers sales taxes, state taxes, gasoline tax, cigarette tax, medical deductions on the personal income tax, talking about property taxes, inheritance and estate taxes. So for example, if you looked up, you know, Pennsylvania, you would see that we have a state sales tax of 6% and that we have an income tax of 3.07. You'd know that we don't tax retirement monies. Usually, unless you take out an early distribution in excess of your basis, that's a little asterisk on that. But it also talks, and in Pennsylvania, we have an inheritance tax, depending on how or to whom you're transferring assets. And we have, you know, property taxes and things like that. So it talks about the averages for those. Ken, I think, had asked last week about Delaware. And when I look up Delaware, Delaware does not have a state or local sales tax. Now, they have a 41.4 cent per gallon gasoline tax, at least at the time of the writing on this retirementliving.com website. And I had mentioned for income tax, and I think I had told this to Ken last week, the Social Security income is exempt from tax in Delaware, and taxpayers who are at least 60 years of age can exclude $12,500 of retirement income. This income can come from 401k plans, pensions, and other retirement accounts. And so a lot of times you will find that You can't just compare state income tax rates. You actually have to compare the kind of income that each state taxes and what is their starting point. Some states start with the federal adjusted gross income and add and subtract back. And some states just start with the pure income. So Pennsylvania, for example, does not follow federal. New Jersey does not follow federal. So you want to make sure that when you're looking at income tax rates, you understand what kind of income is being taxed and how they're taxing it, okay? So that website, retirementliving.com, has a lot of other really good information on it. You can, as I said, drill down under the tax section on each of the states, you know, whether, as I mentioned, retirement accounts are taxed or distribution, Social Security, that type of thing. But they also talk about the cost of living, the real estate taxes, the sales tax, housing, property taxes. I think in Delaware, the property taxes, it says the state of Delaware imposes no property tax. Local municipalities levy property tax at an effective rate of 0.56%. That's not very much either. Pennsylvania and New York, I think, were higher, like 1.6 and 1.7% of the property value. So that was kind of interesting. So a good website to check out, Retirement Living. They also had access and, you know, articles on assisted living, the best states to retire in. And they listed 33 states, and Pennsylvania was not one of them. Interestingly, because I have always heard and understood that Pennsylvania was a great state to retire in because we don't tax retirement accounts. But we do have an inheritance tax, so maybe that's why it didn't make the list. And then there was even a study that they had done on this website for best college towns to retire to, because they said many retirees like the energy and activity in college towns. And they listed, I think, 39 states that are have great college towns to retire to. I'm from Michigan, so I looked at Michigan, and the only town they listed was Ann Arbor, I believe. But I'm from Kalamazoo, and Kalamazoo is a great college town, too. So it's a good website to check out, retirementliving.com. Now, I had a question come in offline from Bill, and let me see if I can follow this. It is off air. So he has property. He says he's 66 now. He's working to retire, hopefully, at 70. He has an opportunity to sell some of this property. And if he can clear a certain amount after taxes, or should he hold on to the property, which generates a certain monthly income amount? And then what would he do with the proceeds if he were to clear? So let's say he's going to clear $100,000 after taxes. Is that a better deal to sell the property now or to keep it holding $1,000 a month, which is $12,000. I guess it would depend on the full value of the property, Bill. To me, this is really like a financial planning question, and it's not something I could easily answer off air, on air, I mean. But one of the things I will point out, real estate property values are crazy right now. If this is a rental property, it's not something you're living in. It's not something you necessarily need. And the values are so high, we're not sure where they're going to go or if they're going to stay where they're going to go. But even $100,000 divided by $12,000 is, you know, what is that? Eight years of your $1,000 a month. What I remind people about with rental properties is rental properties are generating ordinary income. If you're making a profit on your rental properties, it's ordinary income and it's taxed at ordinary income rates. If you sell your rental property, you have taken depreciation on the building, I expect, which reduces the cost basis of your property. When you go to sell it, you have a gain. It may not all be taxed at the favorable long-term capital gains tax rate because you may have depreciation recapture. So to the extent you have gain in excess of that depreciation recapture, that would be taxed at your favorable long-term rates, but your depreciation recapture may be taxed up to 25%. It depends on what tax bracket you're in. So you might want to run the numbers quickly and see how that looks. And then if you have the proceeds, if you're clearing $100,000 after taxes, I'm assuming you might have a mortgage, or else that's just the gain on the property. If you were to invest that in equities, and I can't make any recommendations on that, but equities produce dividends and long-term capital gains have held more than a year, and those have favorable tax rates. And the favorable tax rates could be as low as zero if you're in a low tax bracket, or 15% if you're in a 22% bracket or higher. If you're in the top tax bracket, of course, it's even higher, 20%. And if you're above certain thresholds, you could have some net investment income tax on it. But the income tax rates on qualified dividends and long-term capital gains are much lower than the ordinary income that rental properties generate. But everything has its place. You want to look at your own portfolio, your own situation, your own asset allocation, and see what makes sense for you. But I think it's, you know, good to consider these things. Run it up the flagpole, run the numbers, and see where you are with this and if it's really going to turn out the way you think it might. Okay, so good luck with that, Bill. I hope I did okay with answering that question for you. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening, WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm Shawnee Gray. It is now 6:30 and 71 with clear skies. Lehigh Valley weather tonight is going to be mostly clear. On Thursday, it's going to be sunny, high 79. Thursday night, low around 54. Friday, we may have a slight chance of showers, high 81. Friday night, low around 64. Saturday, more showers, high 87. Saturday night, low around 70. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Seabird.
Thank you, Shandy. Welcome back, folks. I want to tag on a couple other comments. I hope Bill is still listening. Some other considerations that people should be thinking about, too, is we are in a very low tax environment right now, and we're not sure where tax rates are going to go. If it's true that for people making less than $400,000, they're not going to change the tax rates, then this could be a moot point. But so I don't want anybody to be scared about raising tax rates if you're not in that, you know, higher kind of income situation. But one other thing, Bill, to point out with rental properties that sometimes people forget about, if over the years you had a loss on your rental property, but your income was more than, if married filing joint, made more than $150,000, you would not have been able to take necessarily your passive loss if you had a loss on the property. What happens is if someone has a loss on a rental property and their income is over a certain threshold, the loss is suspended. You can't take it. Well, sometimes those accumulate to quite a bit. If you have any suspended passive loss carryover and you go and sell your property, those suspended passive losses are all freed up, and you can use those suspended passive losses against ordinary income. So in your calculation and consideration of what kind of tax rates you might have on this gain, look on your tax return to see if you have any passive loss, you know, carryovers. Work through the numbers with your accountant to make sure you might not be paying as much taxes as you think if you had something like that. So I just wanted to mention that. And of course, Pennsylvania doesn't allow those passive loss carryovers. So if you do have a gain on the property, expect to pay taxes on your gain in Pennsylvania. So good luck with that decision. something I think people should be thinking about in this environment with real estate. You know, we're just hearing all kinds of stories. I mean, from a number of clients that if they want to buy a house, they can't get the house because people are walking in with cash deals, no appraisals, no fix-ups, no inspections, just cash. And it's crazy. And there's bidding wars and people want to sell a house. It's on the market for a day or two. They have people lined up. It's really, really crazy. I'm just very happy I am not in the market for a new house right now. Okay, so in talking more about navigating your options in retirement planning, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Kyle. He'll write it down and bring it in like he did for Bill. So again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about navigating your options in retirement planning. Let's move on to how much emergency reserve should I have? While you're working, this is a frequent topic with clients. And as you're getting closer to retirement, that emergency reserve or that nest egg is going to give you a lot more options. As you know, you're going to kind of see as we're talking through some of these other related issues in your decision making. So emergency reserve, typically when you're working and you know you have cash flow coming in, we usually like you to have 6 months to a year, depending on your situation, maybe depending on how stable your employment is, 6 months to a year. When you retire, what kind of cash reserve do you need? Well, I have had a number of people who are deciding to retire earlier than one might typically think. So often people will think age 62, age 65. Some people will say, you know, I can keep working. But generally, I'm seeing people retire between 62 and 65. Quite often, you know, the professionals, the lawyers, the doctors, quite often I see them working, you know, much longer into, you know, age 70. I suppose they, you know, want to make their education worth it or something. I don't know. Don't waste that knowledge, you know, by retiring early, maybe. I'm not sure why. But so when you retire, what kind of cash reserve you have, if someone's going to retire, let's say at 55, well, they're too young maybe to take money out of their retirement accounts unless you terminated employment at age 55 from, you know, you could take early withdrawal out of your 401k without a 10% penalty. But if you roll it over to an IRA, it's too early because you can't take money out of your IRA until age 59 and a half without a 10% penalty. That's a pretty hefty penalty. Still income tax on those kinds of vehicles. If you're going to retire early before you can do that, you might need a bigger kind of reserve to get you through if you can't tap your retirement account, if you don't have a pension, if you're not Social Security eligible. So then some people might retire at 59 and a half because they say, well, I can take money out of my retirement account at 59 and a half without a penalty. You do still have income tax. Don't forget about that. But you're not eligible for Social Security. So are you going to be able to live on distributions from your IRA net of tax without dwindling it down so much that it's not going to last through your retirement? Or let's pretend you wait till age 62 and you start collecting Social Security. Well, if you start collecting Social Security, that's early, and you're taking a huge haircut on that between 25% and 35%, depending on, you know, what age you were when you started at 62. Depends on what your full retirement age is. Pretty big haircut. Is that going to be enough even to meet your cash flow needs? Are you still going to have to pull from your retirement account? So one thing I'm seeing is people saving really significant sums of money in the bank or in some very, very conservative investment to bridge them to either their Social Security full retirement age or even to age 70 if they decide to wait to collect Social Security until age 70. The reason they wait to age 70 is because they get an 8% premium on on their Social Security benefit. So some people might have a chunk of money to bridge them. And I'm talking sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, $300,000 to bridge them for X number of years, which could be 2 years, 5 years, you know, 4 years. And maybe the first couple years, it's a much bigger draw from their cash. And then in the third year, maybe they're eligible for some Social Security, and then they take less of a draw. So emergency reserve, or what I would call the first bucket of the next X number of years you need until you solidify that fixed income coming in, either pension, Social Security, or required minimum distributions or distributions from your IRAs. All right. Think about what you might need for that if you're going to do it that way. And why might that be important? That might be important because one of the big expenses we have in retirement planning is health insurance. That's one of the reasons I think sometimes people do this age-based retirement at 65, because that's when Medicare kicks in. And when we're talking about Medicare, that's costing, Part B is like, I don't know, $141 a month these days. And then you usually have to get a supplemental plan, and that supplemental plan, you know, might cost another $150. So you might be out for your health insurance $300 a month when you're 65. Well, what happens if you're not age 65 and you decide to retire at age 60? Do you have spousal coverage? Do you have retiree coverage? Most companies don't offer retiree medical insurance anymore. And some only offer it till 65 when you go on Medicare. But maybe you have a spouse who is not Medicare age. So you might have retiree medical till 65. But what about your spouse? Are they going to have retiree medical as well? So the health insurance, big cost. If you don't have spousal coverage, you don't have retiree coverage, you might have COBRA insurance for a little bit. COBRA insurance is through, you know, an employer who has a certain number of employees, and in certain conditions of, you know, severing employment, you would have available to you COBRA, which could be that you're still paying the full premium. And the full premium for your coverage, depending on if it's a single coverage or spousal coverage or family coverage, that can vary quite a bit. It could be, you know, $800 a month. It could be $1,000 a month. It could be $2,000 a month. It all kinds of depends on the health insurance you have and the type of coverage that you're going to have, and you want to make sure that it's available to you. If you're not using any of those, individual coverage is, you know, could be as expensive as COBRA. It kind of depends, I would say. And then there's also the marketplace, or Pennsylvania provides it through their website, penny.com, P-E-N-N-I-E.com, penny.com in Pennsylvania. Now, here again, when we talk about navigating your options in retirement planning, this is one of those areas that you could really spend some, you know, important time considering what to do. I have worked with a number of clients where they're in that gap before age 65. They are retired. They do have a nice little bucket of assets to help meet their cash flow needs. They're not having to pull money from retirement accounts. They're not collecting Social Security yet. They're using their cash to kind of fund their expenses and living. So their income could be a little bit lower on their tax return. Maybe they have interest, dividends, maybe a small pension. They could qualify for the marketplace, and they may qualify even for premium tax credits on the cost of that insurance if they stay below certain income thresholds. So that's navigating, you know, the marketplace insurance that might be available to someone by having cash-like investments available to pull from, so that you're not putting more income on your tax return. Like a distribution from an IRA puts more money on your tax return, raises your income, maybe eliminates your eligibility for these premium tax credits. Whereas if you had cash on hand, you don't have to take money out of the retirement account. You keep the income on your tax return low, and you qualify for some support in the premium taxes, in the health insurance premiums that you're paying, because it can be quite a hefty price in your retirement. And one of the reasons that's important to control is because you have to control your cash flow in retirement. And what are your cash flow needs going to be? That's why we go through. What are you going to do in your retirement? Where are you going to live? How much emergency reserve should you have? How much is health insurance going to cost? All of this feeds into the big question of how are you going to cover your cash flow needs in retirement? Is it going to be from cash? We have to worry about inflation. Is it going to be from your individual investments? What's your risk tolerance? How much, you know, are you making? What kind of dividends and interest are you getting on your individual investments? Are you getting a pension? Are you getting Social Security? Are you having to draw from the retirement accounts? So in navigating your retirement plan options, we have to know how you're going to cover your cash flow needs. Folks, we're at the last break. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. And questions can also be sent through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Connect to WDIY with our new app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and programs you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or your favorite music shows on demand with our two-week archive feature. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking about navigating your options in retirement planning, and I feel like I'm putting this through a funnel. We start with a big batch of questions and we put them through, or maybe even we're putting it through a grinder. I'm not quite sure. But it's what I love to do because it's problem solving. It's helping look at a question from a number of different angles and hopefully getting to the best solution for your particular situation, which may be very different from, you know, your neighbors or someone else. We got to the point of talking about how you're going to cover your cash flow needs in retirement, and some people are going to do it with cash. We just have to be careful of inflation then. If you only have cash, if you have investments, you might be looking at, you know, total return. I know years ago, I remember people would always say, no, I want interest on my investments. I want interest income on my investments. And not realizing that they may not have been getting any appreciation on those assets, which then, you know, makes them subject to inflation, and you're kind of deteriorating the value of those assets if you're not more diversified. Because if prices are going up and you're just getting interest income and interest is 0.01 on your bank account and inflation even at 2%, it's kind of whittling away at the value of that cash. So you want to be careful of how you're going to cover your cash flow needs. Short term, for sure, cash, you know, cash works because then you're not subject to the fluctuations in the market. But do you have a bucket that's going to work for you for that long term piece in your retirement life? And then how do you draw on that? How is that impacting your tax returns? Some people might say, you know, I'm going to take money out of my retirement account. I've built up my retirement accounts. It's great. Some people, it's the only investments they have because they've put away all their savings in retirement accounts. So anytime they want money, they're pulling it from an IRA. So here's where we start thinking. We start thinking, if every time I need money to help fund my cash flow needs in retirement, and I am maybe working, but maybe still in a low tax bracket, Do you need to consider whether or not you should be putting away money in a Roth IRA that would have some tax-free growth for you, and you could then take distributions out of the Roth without impacting your tax return? Do you do conversions to Roth IRAs at some point where you take the money out of the IRA, pay income tax on it, put it into a Roth, and then you get tax-free growth, and then you can tap it as you need it? I've had that happen with a number of people when we were trying to manage the stimulus payments. Their income was so close to qualifying for it, but they were taking IRA distributions out, which were going to preclude them from getting the stimulus payments. They had a big Roth IRA. I said, let's cut the IRA distributions. Let's take the money out of the Roth IRA. Doesn't add income to your tax return. They qualified for the stimulus payments. That helps their retirement bucket last a little longer because they were kind of smart about how they were managing the income on the return. We have a call from Albert off air. Albert from Akunji, trying to convince wife to go to a financial planner. Best way to approach wife to convince her that a financial planner isn't just for investing and helps with future financial situations. Also not just for wealthy people. It's correct, Albert. It's one of the reasons I like doing the show. I come from humble beginnings, very, you know, good stock and all of that. Very hard working family. We just didn't have a lot of assets and didn't have a financial planner for my parents when they were going through their professional lives. And I agree with you that a financial planner isn't just for investing, and they can help with your future financial situations. Just simple things, you know, I'll tell people, sometimes people, even wealthy people, will accumulate a lot of money just out of, you know, the amount of money that they make. But sometimes a second pair of eyes can just amp up your kind of returns a little bit. And I don't mean returns necessarily in investment returns. I mean in your overall reaching your financial goal returns. For example, doing Roth IRAs, or I had a couple once, and Albert, this could be an example. I had a couple once who had come to me, they had retired, and they were collecting only Social Security. They were very frugal, collecting Social Security and maybe a small pension, and none of their Social Security was taxable. And they wanted to do renovations in their house, and they were going to take out, I don't remember, I think back then it was like $12,000. Well, if they took $12,000 out of their IRA and put it on their tax return, some of their Social Security ended up being taxable. And it was like, to the tune of $4,000 of taxes, whatever, don't hold me to the numbers, $4,000 taxable. And I said, I would rather you take out a home equity loan, and instead of taking out the whole $20,000 or $12,000 from your IRA all in 1 year, do the home equity and only take $4,000 out a year out of your IRA. It didn't cause any income taxes because it kept their income low enough that the Social Security wasn't getting taxed. And they could pay back the home equity loan in 4 years, and the interest on it might have been, you know, like $1,000 or something. The difference was, in my mind, what I really remember, is that the tax cost was going to be $4,000, and the interest cost was only $1,000. So they were that much further ahead just by that little simple trick. And they, you know, had said they never wanted to have debt. But I said, it's not that you have debt. You have the money to pay it off at any time. You're just doing it in a smarter way. So, Albert, I had mentioned, I think if not last week, the week before, there is a website called cfp.net, C for certified, F for financial, P for certified financial planners, cfp.net. You can put in your zip code and CFPs will pop up for your area, but there's a lot of other information as well on that website. Financial planners, certified financial planners, professionals, I should say, not every financial advisor is created equal, but they, you know, are fiduciaries, and they, you know, try to look at your whole situation kind of holistically, like an osteopathic doctor, something like that. You know, have her listen to some of these shows. See if she's getting any information out of, you know, what we talk about every week, which is really financial planning. I rarely talk about investing, rarely. It's really a lot about financial planning, which is what the whole thing has been tonight, talking about this, navigating your options in retirement planning. It's really financial planning. All right. So, Albert, I hope that helps a little bit, but I have had shows on this. So if you go to wdiy.org and go under public affairs and scroll through, I don't know if you can search by titles of the show, but you probably could type financial planning and find a show on it. In talking about navigating your options for retirement planning, we talked about then how are you going to cover your cash flow needs. And it's not just about how you're going to cover it. It's being smart about covering it. So it could be a combination of cash. It could be a combination of take a little bit out of a retirement account. I've had people do that to play tax brackets. About selecting when to take Social Security. Do you file early if you retire early? Do you hold off and wait and earn that premium every year on Social Security? So there are a number of options you want to have in covering your cash flow. You could do it in a combination of ways. It's about being smart and understanding how it's going to hit your tax return. Again, it's just, you know, kind of planning and taking advantage of, you know, the various ways you can take distributions from your assets to maximize your, you know, cash flow. Pension options, Jackie and Rod, Jackie Cornelius and Rod Young talked about that on May 26th. That's a more in-depth show on pension options. You can have a lump sum option. You can have a joint and survivor option. And the joint and survivor options can be 50%, sometimes 75%, 100% survivor, meaning if you die, your spouse is going to get 50% of it. If you have a joint and survivor with 50, joint and survivor with 100% option, it impacts the current pension that you're going to get if you select like a higher survivor option. And then sometimes there's a term certain, meaning you could select an option that says, this is my pension, my monthly pension, guaranteed for 10 years, meaning if I kick the bucket tomorrow, it's still guaranteed for 10 years. If I kick the bucket on the ninth year, 11th month, your survivor's only going to get 1 month. That's a term certain. And then, of course, the Social Security options that we have about filing early, delaying, or the spousal benefit. Now, we had a call from Jack in Easton, Roth IRA topic. He has two Roth IRAs, opened one 7 or 8 years ago and opened one about 2 years ago, and he's 62. Combined the two Roths, he wants to know if the money counts as being there for 7 to 8 years, and is it okay to withdraw tax-free? Jack, this is a great question. I love it. This is why I love when listeners call in with these questions. So if it was a regular Roth IRA, meaning you made a regular contribution to it, not a conversion, if you made a regular contribution to the Roth and you opened it 7 or 8 years ago and you've combined them, then yes, that it is the longer of the two, no matter when you opened the account. The IRS looks at regular Roth accounts as one, and it'll be when you started it. Conversions are a little bit different. If you converted IRA money to a Roth, it starts a new 5-year holding period with each conversion. And that is true even to your heirs. So there is a 5-year clock on conversions. But if you are age 62 and you've held it longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half, you can take money out of your Roth tax-free. So, yeah. So, Jack, you know, back to my little story about the gentleman that I was trying to manage his income on his tax return to qualify for the stimulus payments. We switched from IRA to Roth. We only had to do that for about, you know, I think it was like $5,000 to $10,000, not a huge amount. But the Roths grow tax-free. So those are like one of the favorite accounts around. If you have Roths, I would not encourage you to necessarily take money out of those tax-free unless you're doing something like what I was talking about where you're, you know, kind of trying to manage your income. Where you might try to manage your income, and this is also, you know, one of those navigating your retirement plan options, is people have, if you're on Medicare, there is something called an IRMA adjustment. If your income, if you're married filing joint, and your income's over about, I don't know, $174,000, you could be subject to a Medicare surtax, well, not a Medicare surtax, a Medicare premium adjustment. And so sometimes we might kind of manage someone's cash flow on their tax return, their income on their tax return for that as well. So if they need cash flow and they only usually take it from their IRAs and we want to manage that a little bit, we could take a little bit from the Roth IRA. I think Roths are great savings vehicle for young people especially. So that is a great question. You should be good, Jack, on that unless they were conversions and then you have to wait the longer of 5 years. I think the original contributions could still come out without a problem. It's just the earnings that are going to be tax-free after the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half. Thank you so much, listeners, tonight. I love the calls. We love the questions. And I really appreciate you calling in with them. You can also send those through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, if you have any, and I'm happy to answer them, and I won't bother you beyond answering your question. I want to thank Kyle for being here tonight. Thank you, Shandi, for being here tonight. Next week, I have Erin McCune of EasyNet, and she's going to be here to discuss making it easy to create an operations center for your estate. I'm really excited about talking to her. It's really, really interesting. Her website, EasyNet, and that's EasyNet. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.